always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Two bodies found in a car in San Antonio, Texas, are believed to be the missing pregnant teen and her boyfriend last seen on Saturday. Reporter Chris Fox with more.
San Antonio police believe the bodies are of pregnant 18-year-old Savannah Soto and her boyfriend, Matthew Guerra, the father. San Antonio Police Chief William McManus.
What we're looking at right now is a very, very perplexing crime scene. And detectives right now are looking at this as a possible murder.
No word yet on the status of the baby. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
Kansas is among the central states pummeled by a winter storm. KWCH-TV Sean Loging spoke to a traveler along I-70 in north central Kansas.
Making the trip to Denver from Arkansas, Christopher Robinson and his family already anticipating a stop to bunk down for the night.
Snow's just beginning to stick in parts of the highway, so just for safety's sake, we'll stop and stay wherever we end up.
The system is moving east with the rain as the main feature. Longtime CBS News correspondent Tom Foti has died.
I'm Tom Foti. In a very rare and complicated and politically controversial prisoner exchange,
he had a decades-long career in news that included many jobs in New York and Washington, D.C., on air and as management. Tom covered major stories, including the 1977 New York City blackout and the Three Mile Island nuclear plant accident. He also covered Congress, the State Department, and the White House. Tom Foti, our colleague and friend, was 77. Israel again attacks refugee camps in Gaza as its military says it will expand its offensive. CBS's MTS Tayyab reports.
In the southern city of Rafah, Palestinian medical workers buried roughly 80 bodies released by Israel in a mass grave. The smell of decomposing remains was so strong, they said, they couldn't accurately count how many.
What did we Google the most in 2023? CBS's Stacey Lynn with the search engine's year in review.
The top news search was the Israel-Gaza war. As for people we Googled most, Kansas City Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce topped the list with a little help from his very famous girlfriend.
They went absolutely insane when they showed Taylor on the screen.
Another football player, Buffalo Bills safety DeMar Hamlin, was also searched up.
He got up and just went right back down.
After he collapsed on the field. Stacey Lynn, CBS News.
Even with concerns about inflation, we still whipped out the cash and cards this holiday. MasterCard Spending Pulse found sales from the beginning of November through Christmas Eve climbed 3.1%, a slower pace than the 7.6% increase from a year earlier. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Be a part of the resistance.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Christmas Day high temperatures broke records all over Wisconsin. Monday's high was 54 in Green Bay. Other new records include 54 in Appleton and 52 in Stevens Point. Records were also reached in Wausau, Marshfield, and Superior, just to name a few. Republicans plan to propose eliminating taxes on retirement income in Wisconsin this spring. Democrats say they'll work to make sure any tax cut is targeted to middle class.
We are going to make sure that anything that comes forward is focused on those families and those individuals who really need a little extra breathing room.
Assembly Democratic Minority Leader Greta Neubauer speaking with WKOW's Capital City Sunday. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Two Wisconsin teams in the top 25. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers and Marquette Golden Eagles men's basketball teams remain in the AP's top 25 teams in the nation. Marquette fell to the number 10 spot after losing to Providence. The Badgers moving up a spot to number 23. They begin conference play a week from tonight against Iowa. NBA. The Bucks lost to the Knicks 129-122. That snapped a 7-game winning streak. Milwaukee goes across town to play the Brooklyn Nets tomorrow night. NFL. Strange story at the start of the Packers game Sunday in their win over Carolina. Defensive back Jair Alexander ran onto the field for the coin toss, and even though he wasn't a team captain, told the referees after winning the toss that he wanted the defense on the field instead of saying, "We defer." That could have been costly for Green Bay, having to kick off to start both halves. Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, I know. That's a big mistake.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A rain or snow shower this evening, then some clearing overnight, and a low in the low 30s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds for tomorrow, highs into the low 40s. Then some showers Wednesday night into Thursday, cloudy, breezy, and a high in the low 40s. Right now it's 33.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, didn't cut a dude.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade.
Which means Distant Thunder. Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, I like to be right once a day. And Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Oh, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon, supporting honest Native news, stories, and events from Natives themselves. Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon.
Yes, thank you for all the support over the years, everybody. It really helped us through when we had COVID and our advertisers were, on lockdown with us. So I just want to tell everyone I do remember those days, and I really appreciate your support back then as I do now. Hey, we're with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute, and he's a citizen of White Earth. We don't talk a lot about his citizenship, but he's a citizen there. And also, Robert's been a glass floor breaker over the years, a city council member. You're in like 20 groups right now, and a lot of important groups and representative of our Native people. And thank you so much, as always, for being on.
Yeah, Miigwech, it's Buzu Haley, Buzu Robert. So good to be here. Yeah, I'm a citizen of White Earth. I'm a third generation Minneapolis urban Indian. And I have what one journalist, one reporter once called my 17 titles. She said, "Which of your 17 titles do you want to? Want me to use?" So I like to be involved.
Yeah, and you do a great job in the community, and I know
very kind.
You really helped out with a past which you do and have been doing for years. You helped me, as a matter of fact, with my candidacy for Ho-Chunk Nation legislator, but you also just helped out recently with one of your area's candidates. So you're a doer.
Yeah. A new Minneapolis City Council member, and since I used to be in elected office, some folks know that I served on the Minneapolis City Council, first tribal citizen to do so for 12 years. I got elected in 2001, and when I first started running, I was kind of running against the system, and people who knew about campaigning and knew what to do were really hesitant to help me. So I made the decision, the determination then, I'm going to help people. As I learn something, I'm going to pass it on to others. And And even if I don't think I'm going to support you at the end of the day, if you want to meet with me and ask me some questions, I'll meet with you. And it's just really rewarding to see some of the folks I've worked with along the way and what they're doing today, including our Lieutenant Governor, my wider sister, Peggy Flanagan, on her first campaign. But yeah, I just helped, worked on a campaign of a very young and incredibly brilliant candidate named Katie Cashman, who just got elected to the city council. So she'll take office in January.
Yeah, that's totally exciting. Hey, we're going to see the governor and lieutenant governor tomorrow. Wendy, Haley, and I, there's a press party that we were invited to. And so we'll be wearing bells on. And it's, you know, I feel like, you know, when it comes to Native Roots Radio, we have these great contacts like Heather Keeler, State Senator Mary Kunish, people like yourself that have been on the show, and of course the Lieutenant Governor. But I think it really helps our credibility here at Native Roots Radio with you being on and being friends with the Lieutenant Governor and, of course, with the State Senator. And we have the Governor of Wisconsin that comes on. And it's just been really fun to see how exciting the show has opened up over the years. And I think you're a big part of it, Robert.
You are so very kind. I think you're giving me way too much credit, Robert, but I'll take some of it anyway. But just to really turn it back on you and Robert and on Haley and those who came before Haley and what you've done to build the show up and to build its credibility. I used to feel when it was a 2-hour pre-recorded show on the weekends, right? Yeah. It's like there just aren't a lot of Native news platforms like this, you know, and so I think it's just you have a niche and it's an important one, and I'm very grateful for your willingness to kind of fill it. I'm a little bit jealous about this press event with the governor and lieutenant governor, but I know you'll have a great time.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and one of the reasons too why I bring it up too is in my mind, you know, it's really fun because the governor, lieutenant governor's journey was kind of parallel with ours. So they were on the show a lot, especially the first time when they were running. And, you know, I always joke with Haley when I bring this up, but, you know, the lieutenant or the governor knows my name. And Haley's like, wow, that was impressive. But I'm wondering, and I guess why I bring this up, too, is I'm wondering if are we seeing Lieutenant Governor maybe someday being Senator Flanagan? I mean, I think about that and I kid with her, but, you know, she's got a lot of work going on now and really can't think too much about that.
Right. We shall see, right? It's up to her and what her path, you know, what her journey is and her vision. But she is clearly a dynamic leader, deeply connected to people, to our community for sure, but just to people. Mm-hmm. In general, and I remember this would have been back in, 2004, working on her school board campaign. Right. That was the first office that she ran for and was successful. And I was so impressed with her. And I remember thinking, wow, she could be governor someday. And then I thought, well, heck, she could be president someday. Why put a cap on it? So whatever she does, our lieutenant governor and wider sister Peggy Flanagan is going places.
Absolutely. This is not the end of it. And I love how our governor and lieutenant governor remind me of Obama and Biden, where, you know, Biden was involved in a lot of the decisions, and so is our lieutenant governor.
Yeah, I remember they announced their campaign, their first campaign, at the Minneapolis American Indian Center. That's where they kicked it off.
Yeah.
Right in the heart of the American Indian Cultural Corridor and the community. And, you know, and I care deeply about Peggy Flanagan. I call her my little sister. She calls me her brother. And I didn't know what a lieutenant governor spot might do for her politically. And I remember thinking, I want to hear them talk about a co-governing model in their opening remarks. And I thought of that several times. I thought, if I don't hear that, I'm going to reach out to Peggy and say, you know, you need a position within government, you know, the government. And sure enough, 3 times they said co-governing, we will be co-governing. And in Minnesota, which is kind of a purpley kind of state, although all of our statewide offices are held by Democrats. But I think that Waltz and Flanagan really balance each other beautifully and kind of let everyone see some of their beliefs and positions reflected in their policy work.
Absolutely. I was there too, Robert, and I remember the governor-to-be was telling the story about basically the, what was it, the Wellstone class that Peggy was leading was his first mix with politics. And she was her he was teacher.
She was training at Wellstone Action at the time, teaching how to be a candidate, how to campaign. And Governor, now Governor Waltz was there. And then he went into his first campaign, which was for Congress, successful in a fairly red district. And then there are other two other people in that same class that Peggy taught that got elected to city council. So I served with them on my second term. They both got elected. And so not only is she a great elected representative, but, man, she can teach people how to win campaigns.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, we're going to take a break, Robert, and we haven't had you on in a long time, so we're going to keep you on longer. I'd like to talk a little bit and reminisce about Jamie Becker Finn a little bit, who's just released yesterday that she will not be running, which is sad to hear because she's another one of our native doers that really have we're really proud of, and really she's a fighter, and you know she's got small kids and things, so I don't know what you've heard, but maybe we can talk a little bit about her and her legacy.
Let's.
All right. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Thanks to everyone who's continued to support AM 950. Good news, the AM 950 2024 calendar is ready to go, featuring photos I took around Minnesota and important progressive dates. Members that sign up with a one-time $25 membership will receive a 2024 AM 950 calendar as a thank you. Make a one-time $50 or $100 donation, you'll get the AM 950 calendar and the brand new AM 950 tote bag as a thank you. Go to am950radio.com for all the details on the membership. That's am950radio.com. Thank you so much for supporting AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Claudia with MinSure, Minnesota's official health insurance marketplace. With MinSure, you can compare health plans from multiple companies and get free help from a trusted expert. Whatever health plan you choose with MinSure, it's guaranteed to cover essential benefits, so you can get the care you need. See if you qualify for discounts, available only through MinSure. If you need quality, comprehensive health insurance, get started now at MinSure.org.
We went to all the powwows when we were young. At that time, children could not dance. Only people over 50 years of age could dance. Most people do not know this, that the government forbid children to dance Indian. And that was so they could wipe out the culture of the young people. And then finally, the new generation would never know what
happened. I'm a member of the American Indian Movement. And I'm from the indigenous nations of the Western Hemisphere.
We American Indians, we can be anything we want to be, except American Indians.
You were here long before any of us were here.
Buju, everybody. My name is Peggy Flanagan. Guabagani Gadikagna Njujaba. I'm from the White Earth Nation, and my family's the Wolf Clan.
There's trouble in Custer, South Dakota yesterday.
That the American Indian Movement is a very proud, continuing part of American Indian society. And thank you.
But what I tell you is that we are not backing down. We're here, we'll stand here, because we have been here for 10,000 years. We're the home team, and we're not going anywhere. We're rich.
Greetings, friends and relatives in four directions. We are proud and happy to have Elder Jerry Dierling speak on behalf of Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake.
En fait, tu wash that. Today we begin a part of sharing with you the people of Minnesota, which is Mini is water, Oshota is misty, cloudy, or foggy, which is a state of Minnesota, which is a Dakota or a Sioux word called Minnesota, Mini Oshota. So today I'm asked to do what it is I'm going to be doing on behalf of the pronunciation of the 38 Dakota, which I was, once again, they brought me some tobacco and a chanupa or a pipe to accompany the run, which is December 25th evening, 2018, and leaving at 11:30 or 12, running all night with those runners and arriving in Mankato around 10 o'clock or a little after or before, somewhere around there, at the Line of Memories Park on the west side of Mankato, which incidentally is Makato, which is Blue Earth. And that's where we had the culminating ceremony, where at that time, very important, some of you may that follow the media, you may have read something about Shunka Ska. Shunka is dog, Ska is white, white dog. 150 years, this chanupa, this pipe, was taken care of by someone or somebody bought it, and finally it was returned back to the Prairie Island Dakota community. So they have two young people from the community that is taking care of this pipe that's 150 years old that belonged to one of the leaders at that time that were probably caught and killed in his own abiding. The one thing they took was his pipe. This was now today's generation, 21st century, given back to the Prairie Island Dakota community. So that was also brought at the culminating final 2018 pipe ceremony, with all the prayers needed and people standing in around a fire to remember the 38 Dakota, which I will share with you at this time. The names, I will share the Dakota names. So I will share these Dakota names in a very proud, respectful way for the history of those 38 Dakota. Dakota Indians hung at Mankato. This is Friday, December 26, 1862. Dakota number one, Tipi Gdoniche. Tipi Gdoniche. The second one, number two, Wayata Tua. Wayata Tua. Three, Tajusha. Tajusha. Four, Hihanshu Koyag Money. Hihanshu Koyag Money. Five, Maza Bomidu. Maza Bomidu. Six, Wahba or Wapha Duta. Wapha Duta. Seven, Wahena. Wahena. Eight, Snow Money. Snow Money. Nine, Hda Ionke. Hda Ionke. Ten, Doa Nie. Doa Nie. 11, Shunka Ska. Shunka Ska. 12, Hepron. Hepron. 13, Tunka Lehanta Money. Hunga Lehanta Mani. 14. Ite Duta. Ite Duta. 15. Ambadacha. Ambadacha. 16. Hepidon. Hepidon. 17. Machbia. Te Nanji. Machbia. Te Nanji. 18. French mixed blood. Henry Milord. Henry Milord. 19. Chaske Don. Chaske Don. 20. French mixed blood. Baptiste Campbell. Baptiste Campbell. 21. Trate Gaga. Trate Gaga. 22. He Pinkpa. He Pinkpa. 23. French mixed blood. Hippolyte Og. Hippolyte Og or Auger. 24. Nape Shuha. Nape Shuha. 25. Wakhan Tranka. Wakhan Tranka. 26. Tronka Khoya Inanji. Tronka Khoyag Inanji. 27. Makha Te Nanji. Makha Te Nanji. 28. Praji Kuta Mani. Praji Kuta Mani. 29. Tate Gododan. Tate Gododan. 30. Washituna. Washituna. 31. Aichaga. Aichaga. 32. Hotha Iku. Hotha Iku. 33. Cheta Hunka. Cheta Hunka. 34. Khdahi Bada. Khdahi Bada. 35. Chankagdo. Chankagdo. 36. Oyate Truan. Oyate Truan. 37. Mehiwe Mie. Mehiwe Mie. 38. Wakiana. Wakiana. Oyalana. Wikjemana Yamani. Sam Shagdoha. Otakuye Kihehan. December 26, 1862, heha, we chalked it bedo. These 38 Dakota were killed at that fateful day on December 26, 1862.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief, a grim discovery in San Antonio, Texas, where police have been searching for a pregnant 18-year-old and her boyfriend. Two bodies have been found in the car belonging to Savannah Sota and her boyfriend, Matthew Guerra. San Antonio Police Chief William McManus says the bodies may have been there for 3 or 4 days.
Because of the complexity, complex crime scene, we can't say for sure what we have.
A winter storm system has made it a tough day for those driving through the central U.S. Weather Channel meteorologist Mike Bettis.
Winds could gust in excess of 40 miles an hour in some spots. I-80, I-90, I-70 could be affected. A little bit of light snow force here on I-70 across Missouri as well. All of this should begin to wrap up and travel conditions should begin to improve as well.
Since 1998, he has signed off.
Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
Tom has died. He had a decades-long career covering major stories and running newsrooms. Tom Foti, a beloved co-worker, was 77. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Gasoline prices in Wisconsin are going down when the rest of the country is going up. Gas Buddy says the average price for regular in Wisconsin is $2.72. That's almost 3 cents lower than last week. The national average price of gasoline has risen almost 3 cents to $3.07 a gallon. Political observers say black voters in Milwaukee will be key to winning Wisconsin in the race for president next year. Mayor Cavalier Johnson tells WISN-TV's Up Front that's why President Biden was at the Wisconsin Black Chamber of Commerce in Milwaukee last week.
There's a reason why, of all places he could have gone, he chose the Wisconsin Black Chamber of Commerce. He's doing outreach to the African-American community.
The president has work to do to get his message across. The latest Marquette poll has Biden's job approval rating in Wisconsin at 42%. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org, brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Skies turning mostly clear here in the overnight. Lower 30s expected by daybreak. Our winds will be light. On Wednesday, mostly sunny skies near the 40-degree mark. North winds 5 to 10. A little bit of light rain late Wednesday night. Currently 32 degrees.
It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Great supporters of Native Roots Radio over the years, and we've had them on, and they're all over the country, all over Turtle Island, giving out knowledge about our relatives, so we really appreciate them. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute, CEO, and I'm going to blame it on the cold. I messed it up twice now, Robert, and I know we're not keeping track, but I had a little hiccup there, you know, but welcome.
Oh,
welcome
I'm back. Keeping track, Robert. I am keeping track.
Yeah, dang. So what do we got going down on the avenue? I drove by the Indian Center, and when is that due? That place is looking beautiful, and it's right up against the sidewalk now, so I can't sneak into the front there and park on the illegally.
No, it's looking great. So the target date for the grand reopening is May 1st. As folks in Minnesota know, May is American Indian Month in our state. It was a big American Indian movement effort back in the 70s to get that recognized. Started as a week, now it's a month. And Mary Lagarde, the brilliant director who has shepherded this incredible capital investment through, is gearing up to open it up on May 1st. So we usually march through the community on May 1st for Indian Month kickoff, and then end up there for a blessing and opening. Mm-hmm. And a feast, and it'll be wonderful. And you're right, it's beautiful. And we've had a Indian center there for decades, and since the 70s. And it was just such a nondescript building in the past. And like, you couldn't even really figure out how to, if you hadn't been there before, people could never figure out how to even get in. You know, and kind of enter from the side. And it used to be owned by the city of Minneapolis. And during my time on the city council, we sold it to the Indian Center for $1 to be self-owned. And it's needed, this investment, but it's about 13 million dollars. No, that can't be right. It must be
seven or something. Maybe
it's way more than that. I should be saying numbers that I don't know. I wasn't prepared for that. But I will say I'm on the Capitol Campaign Committee for the Indian Center, and I was on it back in the early 2000s as well, and during my time on City Council. And it was a really heavy lift back in the early 2000s. There was a sense that the Indian Center was losing its relevance in the 21st century, and you know, there were some other concerns about just about succession and things. And funders are really savvy about stuff like that. And they just weren't giving. And I think we ended up, at the time, we're trying to raise $13 million. And I think we raised about $3 million. And so it had to really scale back the project. But man, leadership at the Indian Center has gone through, you know, some generational change. And they've done some incredible strategic work. And this has been a much more satisfying capital campaign committee to serve on than it was 20 years ago.
Wow. We're going to have a theater in there, a bigger store, a restaurant, things. It's just going to be a place to go and go down to the coffee shop and walk down to the Indian Center and hang out and do some shopping. Yeah.
No, you're exactly right. And as you pointed out in your first comments, you know, it's bringing the activity right up to Franklin Avenue, to the American Indian Cultural Corridor, rather than almost having it hidden. Mm-hmm. You know, so those public activities, art gallery, restaurant, those will be right on Franklin. And so it brings those eyes onto the street and just, you know, really activates the American Indian Cultural Corridor.
Yeah, so have you been in there since they've worked on it? I know some people have gotten tours. I know I didn't get mine.
Yeah. Well, as a Capital Campaign Committee member, you know, I get the privilege of being parts of tours for potential donors and things. So it was a couple weeks ago, but the whole Franklin Avenue facade was done, that sort of drum. It's literally a drum-shaped atrium. That was, you know, you could get in that, you look down Bloomington, it looks like a real big city, you know, it's so different than it was. And the renovated and expanded program space, you know, that gym is one of the most used public spaces in the corridor.
Yeah.
It's pretty much where everything happens, and it feels so good.
Yeah, we're gonna, and you can't wait to have those Thanksgiving powwows, New Year's Eve powwows, and all the other powwows and things that happened in that gym. So It's not far from my house, and it's not far from a lot of people's house, even though I have to get to that, go to that scary city in Minneapolis, you know, from St. Paul.
Yeah, it's just a few blocks. I live on Franklin, so it's just a few blocks, really, away. So, and, you know, and I just really want to make sure. I think it was $33 million. That was the final budget, but just a ton of credit to Mary Lagarde and to others. And the whole staff of the Indian Center, you know, they've been housed in all kinds of different buildings. The programs have been sort of scattered around, but they've kept it going. And, yeah. So it'll be exciting when it reopens.
So what else is going on down there on the Franklin Avenue? Well,
the other thing we may want to talk about, or I wanted to, and I don't know what, but is this, just because it doesn't happen very often, and it definitely sort of reflects Native involvement, but we have a new state flag in Minnesota, and we have a new state seal here. And both of them have definite Native influences. There were Native people on the commission. Mm-hmm. You know, the commission was created by the legislature just last session and given this incredibly short timeline to work, to have this new state flag and new state seal approved by the end of the year. And by gum, they did it, you know.
Yeah.
And there's such a range of feelings about them, but I say they look, they look pretty good, you know, and the state seal even has Dakota language on it.
And wild rice.
And wild rice and a loon, right.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, our the motto, our former state seal was and state flag. It was the same, it was super racist and had, you know, a pioneer with a gun. But looked like chasing off a Native person on a horse, you know. It just, it was really not happening. And then the slogan on the seal and flag was in French, right? L'Étoile du Nord, Star of the North, North Star. Mm-hmm. And now the slogan will be in Dakota. Minnesota, you know, the land where the water reflects the sky.
That is really awesome. We've been talking about that all week, and it's fun. Well, first off, State Senator Mary Kunish talked about it last week that she made this bill. And then we had your friend and our friend Kate Bean on the show talking about it, wanting to get more Native input a few weeks ago. And so we've been watching this really closely. And yesterday we had Arvina Martin, who's the former first Native American woman, City Council Member Madison, and she's on our show every week, and they worked on a flag change in the city flag, and so she loves the flag, and she was telling us yesterday how much she loved our new flag, and she's been doing a lot of research because they changed the one in Madison, so it's like, it's good to hear the experts like it.
Yeah, and a lot of experts are speaking highly of the flag, because that's super simple, right, and even that, and I don't know how direct it is, and I'm certainly no expert, but even the star that appears on the flag, it's sort of a geometric stylized shape of Minnesota, a dark blue field, and then a light blue field looks like water. Mm-hmm. And then there's a white star in the dark blue field that has a very Dakota vibe. And someone, I just read an article where they pointed out that that star, what is it, 8 points? Yeah. is also reflected in the Capitol Rotunda. There's a star on the floor that's 8 points like that.
Wow.
So it's just, I think we're going to like this new flag. I kind of like it.
You know, I don't really think much about the old flag other than when it's brought up in the old seal. So this is something to rally around. And, I just think it can't be any, it can't be as bad as it was. And I believe it's really been a good choice. And you know, things that had to be pointed out to me, like the corner was the state of Minnesota, kind of blocky, you know, things like that. And it's like, oh, that's awesome. Okay.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, and certainly an improvement over the racist former flag and seal.
Yeah, so, I think it's a flag, too, that people are going to be proud to wear. I never saw people hanging up Minnesota state flags or anything ever. And this one, I feel like we're going to see a lot more, you know, flags outside of people's houses and just a lot more of it. So I'm down with it.
Great point.
Yeah, really good point. Now I'm thinking I better get t-shirts made for the store and put a little
there you go. Yeah. I'd wear it.
Right on. Oh, geez. So what else do we got going on? That was a great point, and love talking about that. I'm really proud to be a Minnesotan and Twin Cityan and voting blue. And, we're always conscious of our Wisconsin and Dakotas and Iowa listeners and even Michigan and Illinois that listen to the show. We got it going on here really well, and we're proud of it. I just want to say that, Robert. And I know you're a big part of it, and we try to be a part of it here on Native Roots Radio, but it's just been fun. And when you said that we used to do a pre-record, I had 8 people, guests like yourself, on the show on Saturday. And it was like, this is a great show. I wonder if anyone's listening to it, because it was 2 hours. And now it's great that you're able to spend, some time with us once a week and talk about what's going on, and we can have our discussions about politics, but also just sitting back and being human. And I want to wish you a happy holiday with you and your husband, and I appreciate you being on.
Miigwech, Robert, same to you. Happy holidays, happy solstice.
Yes.
My solstice joke is always the same. I say, it looks like we're in for a long night.
Good one, Robert.
Oh, wow. That's another t-shirt. Well, hey, Pini Gigi, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Unveil the captivating world of Native photography at the Minneapolis Institute of Art. Their new exhibit, In Our Hands, Native Photography 1890 to Now, turns the camera around and puts Native photographers in control, featuring hundreds of photographs captured by generations of First Nations, Métis, Inuit, and Native Americans. You'll view the world through their lens, revealing the beauty and complexity of Indigenous heritage. Don't miss this incredible experience. Visit In Our Hands at the Minneapolis Institute of Art now through January 14th. For more info, visit artsmia.org.
As we gear up for the holiday season, let's prioritize the safety of our community, especially our cherished elders and loved ones. As you plan your holiday gatherings, remember, whether you're young or in good health, you could still unknowingly spread COVID-19. The key to a safer celebration is getting vaccinated. The newest vaccines are authorized, effective against current variants, and FDA approved for ages 6 months and up. So here's the call to action. Be a vaccinative. Protect yourself and your loved ones. Getting vaccinated before your holiday gatherings is a powerful way to ensure a safer and happier time for everyone. Let's honor our elders by preserving their wisdom and stories for generations to come. So be a vaccinative this holiday season. Find more information, including clinics with free vaccines, at vaccines.gov.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Hi, I'm Claudia with MinSure, Minnesota's official health insurance marketplace. With MinSure, you can compare health plans from multiple companies and get free help from a trusted expert. Whatever health plan you choose with MinSure, it's guaranteed to cover essential benefits, so you can get the care you need. See if you qualify for discounts, available only through MinSure. If you need quality, comprehensive health insurance, get started now at MinSure.org.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Howl! Howl!
Right on, Robert. Robert's still on, and that's great. We're waiting for Angela to come on and talk about a call for artists, but maybe we can talk a little bit about that while we're waiting.
Sure, and maybe just talk a little about Angela Two-Stars as well, who is just a superstar artist. She is Dakota and came here to work as a professional artist. She came to our gallery, All My Relations Arts. That's Nacky's gallery right there in the Cultural Corridor next to Paula Grounds Coffee Shop. Stop on down. She She came to, it was her first non-student show where she had a piece of art in a public gallery. And we were so impressed with her, and we invited her back to curate a show as a first-time curator. And we got her a more experienced Native woman curator to mentor her and coach her. And she brought the show Bring Her Home, Stolen Daughters of Turtle Island, to the gallery. And it was such a powerful show. And then when the gallery position opened up, hey, Angela, she's here. She was just such an obvious choice for that position. And she's just done amazing things here in the Twin Cities and through our gallery.
Right on. And hey, as you were saying, Robert, here is Angela. And welcome, Angela. How are you doing? Angela Two Stars, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound great.
Great.
So we were just talking about you in a good way, in a good way. And we wanted to give you the opportunity to come on and talk a little bit about what's happening at All My Relations and art. And you're the art director, so go for it, Angela.
Well, yeah, we have a lot happening right now. We currently have an exhibition that's titled Abajijuan Yukiat Yanale. And Abajijuan is Ojibwe. Yukiat Yanale is Huma, and the two artists that we're hosting is Karen Goulet from Bemidji and Monique Verdin from Louisiana, and they have a duo exhibition around the Mississippi River that closes January 13th. We'll be having a closing reception, and we're also going to be hosting a water weaving workshop on January 6th. That's part of the exhibition with Sarah Nassif, who has loaned us her sari loom that people from the community have been invited to weave part of this community weaving that's going to travel with the show. Our next exhibition is called Okizi. It's Dakota for to heal, and it's a collaboration with the American Swedish Institute. They have an exhibition coming in February called Arctic Highways, Unbound Indigenous People. And we've been talking with ASI for, oh goodness, like, you know, we've been developing a relationship with them well over a year. And they were discussing this exhibition, Migration, with these two Sami artists named Stina Folkenbrandt and Tomas Kolbingston. And they were talking about how this migration artworks were looking at the relationship between the Sami and the reindeer and how the Sami would travel with the reindeer. And I thought that's very similar to Dakota people and how they had relationship with the buffalo. And so it started to spark these similarities in cultural experiences. And so as we began talking more and more, what we decided on, wanting to connect our audiences around this common theme of these dual exhibitions and the meeting of two Indigenous peoples and the healing impacts of cultural revitalization. So the call for art for Okizi will highlight the revitalization efforts that reconnect this generation and future generations to our language, our land, our culture, all as a means of healing from historical and generational trauma. We will be featuring Keith Braveheart, Karen Goulet, and Courtney Leonard, along with Stina and Tomas from, goodness, where are they from? Well, somewhere in Sweden.
Yeah.
And they'll be here when we open on February 1st. So we also have an open call. So we're looking for artists to jury into this exhibition. So that'll be really exciting to see what we get and how people respond to that theme.
Yeah, we'll have to get you on a couple times and get the word out there. Can you tell people, because we have people all over Turtle Island listening to our show, where is All My Relations a gallery, and how can you get there, and what are the hours and things like that?
Yeah, All My Relations is located in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's on the Franklin Avenue on the American Indian Cultural Corridor. Our hours at the gallery are Tuesday through Friday, 10 until 5, and Saturdays we're open from 12 until 3. We're the yellow building with the best coffee in the Twin Cities at the Powwow Grounds.
Right.
So grab yourself some coffee and come on in.
I think it's really important to bring that up because I run into people that I know from all over the country that it's a place where if you are coming in from Wisconsin, let's say, and you want to hang out with some Native Americans, that's a place to go. And a lot of people go there and check it out and run into people they know. And for me, it's always cool to see my Facebook come alive, all these people coming alive, and it's not a picture anymore. But that's the place to go, that's the place to go for your coffee, but also a great museum there. And are all my relations arts?
Yeah, it's a great community space, and it's really a place that the community can just feel themselves represented in the art that they experience. I wanted to share another event, Robert, that we've been talking about
that's
happening in January. Let's see. Maybe you could start off because I'm like fumbling on my notes.
I better get my...
Is this your Louisiana Love Film screening?
No.
Well, that is one thing that we're doing. I'm telling you, we got a lot happening in January.
There is a lot.
We actually have Robert will be joining us in January for a discussion around the Ho-Chunk people and the Ho-Chunk history. There's an author who has a book release coming up. I will get her name. But,
Kathy Coates.
Thank you so much. Yes, Kathy Coates will be releasing her book. And so we have Amy Lontree and Robert Pilot and Kathy, who will be joining us on January 17th to discuss the Ho-Chunk people and their history and, you know, contemporary presence. And I think that's going to be a really great event, too, to share about the Ho-Chunk people.
Yeah, definitely, Anton. We're going to do the... I haven't told Haley yet because it's a heavy lift. We're going to be doing our show out there. And then after Haley segues away from producing the show, she'll be selling books with Kathy and signing up. But I'll have to slowly tell her that. Right, Haley?
Sounds good, Dega.
But, yeah, published by the Minnesota Historical Society, and it's I've had a chance to read it, Angela, and this person is a researcher, so it's great to see that, you know, it's not an opinion book or a romance. It's the blood and guts of our removal and how that came about, roughly parallel with our Lakota Dakota relatives.
Right.
So that's exciting, and it's also really exciting that that you guys at All My Relations Arts do things like that. You know, I've been there for many, many different things over the years.
So yeah, for people who want to submit a piece for the new call for artists, the To Heal exhibit, how can they contact you or submit their piece?
Well, they can go on our website at All My Relations Arts. We have the open call is accepting submissions until January 7th. So people have the holiday break to be able to work on some works to apply to that show. And then we're going to jump right into juring, and then we will be selecting the artists that will be included in the exhibition on January 9th. So show opens February 1st.
Definitely. Angela, we got to get you on the show more often. This was a really good segment. Darn it, we're gonna have Haley stock you down and send you the link and get you on the show more often.
All right, sounds good. Thank you for having me tonight. I appreciate it.
Right on.
Thanks, Angela.
Thanks, Angela.
Thank you.
Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier. Now.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Wow. Why choose Weikert Realtors? Because your community is our community. We are your neighbors, your students, your chefs, your soldiers, your builders, your actors, your musicians, and your radio personalities. We love this city as much as you do, and that's why we want to help you live your best life here. Because we are your realtors. Call us today and let us help you find your next home. 608-821-7002 or visit Weikert-LakePoint.com. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, a home for all.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I am Jennifer Kuiper. From an ice storm in North Dakota to blizzard conditions in Colorado, causing hundreds of airport delays and cancellations.